Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I'm starting a three-week series, so if you're here visiting for the first time, you're now locked in for 3 weeks. I'm starting a three-week series on the life of Joseph. That'll take us up into December until we start Christmas season. But the life of Joseph, and today I want to talk about, it's pretty much an introduction to him, but I've entitled the message, God Gives the Increase. God Gives the Increase. In a moment, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 37 together. Life of Joseph. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And then things get a little wild. Jacob had 13 children, 12 boys, one girl, by four different ladies. You think your family's complicated. Two official wives, two of their maids, the nanny, it's always the nanny. It's just, it had one girl named Dinah, and then 12 boys. I don't remember them in order often, you know, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, that's about where I tap out. But you can remember them if you care. I learned this as a youth pastor a million years ago, it seems. J.J. Blindgrass. Do you know J.J. Blindgrass? J.J. Blindgrass. Judah, Joseph. No, Blindgrass. Benjamin, Levi, Issachar, Naphtali, Dan, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Simeon, and then you end with a Z. J.J. Blindgrass with a Z. Zebulun. J.J. Blindgrass, that's, oh yeah. Are you not entertained? Or you can look in your Bible. But if you need to remember them, remember Dinah and then J.J. Blindgrass. But it's a messed up family. Jacob especially loved his wife Rachel. But she hasn't been able to have kids. Really big deal. Hasn't been able to have kids. And then it says the Lord opened her womb. I'm going to read a verse before we get to Genesis 37. Genesis 30 verse 22 says this, then God remembered Rachel and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and she said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. She called him Joseph. The word Joseph or the name Joseph means add, or it means increase. And literally here it means the Lord will add or the Lord will increase. Which I don't know how much Joseph would have liked his name. Hey, you're not enough. Hey, there's one, there's going to be more. But it did have to do with future. It did have to do with increase. And because of Joseph, we are going to see the increase of the Lord. If you're taking notes, and you can do that in the app, can you remember this? God is still the God of increase. He is still able to bring increase to your life. One of the things that the New Testament teaches and uses a planting or a sowing illustration, it says one watered and another planted, another watered, and it says this phrase, but God gave the increase. He's the one who gives the increase. There's a verse that I absolutely love. It's Proverbs 10:22. And I remember it was spoken over me years ago. I was in a church service in Los Angeles, went up for prayer. Because whenever there's prayer, I usually go up. And so at the end of the service, I know there are people, Mark and Tara here, others are ready to pray for you at the end of the service. Come up. I get all the prayer I can get. But I remember going up and responding, and I heard this verse. Now I remember hearing it before, and I certainly never had it ministered to me. Proverbs 10:22, it says this, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow. And I don't love that verse because of the maketh rich part. I love what it teaches me, that his increase won't increase your sorrow. That the blessing of the Lord won't increase your sorrow. And I think sometimes even the Lord holds back increase in our lives if it's going to end up in sorrow, if it's going to be to our detriment. And sometimes when we get our eyes on the increase and off of the Lord, we would discover that's idolatry and God won't have any part of it. We used to sing a song, I seek the giver, not the gift. We're not just looking for the blessings, we're looking for him. We're looking for him. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. Joseph means the Lord will add, the Lord will increase. Here we go. Verse 1, Genesis chapter 37 says this. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha. So there was Rachel, Leah, Rachel, and then these two, their maids, his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpha. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors, and when a coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. They hated him and couldn't speak, had nothing to do with a glue stick, couldn't speak peaceably to him. Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I've dreamed. And there we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. You know, here's this moment. Little brother. Isn't this great? And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I've had another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. He told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him. Said to him, what's this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down on earth before you? His brothers envied him. Watch. But his father kept the matter in his mind. Makes me think of Mary pondering these things in her heart when she heard the news. So the story is this. A 17-year-old kid has been bringing bad reports, ratting out on his stepbrothers. Jacob, his dad, loved him more than all the others, and it was evident, made him a coat of many colors. And the brothers hated him and couldn't even speak to him. I just couldn't stand him. I can't even talk to you. And then their hate for him increased more and more and more. Increased because he had dreams, but not only because he had the dreams, they hated him for that. They hated him for having the dreams, and then they hated him for talking about the dreams, and they grew. This hatred was growing and growing and growing. And isn't that what hatred does? It's pervasive, and it grows, and it has exponential creep into areas of our lives. See, his dream had to do with his destiny, and it was a revelation from God, but there was no way in the world that he ever would have been able to fathom that what that dream was talking about was he was going to be a ruler in Egypt. There's no way you can put those pieces together. It wouldn't have crossed his mind about the fulfillment of that. The dream just looked like his family. Jacob kept the matter in his mind, which is interesting because Jacob, and we're not going to talk a lot about his dad, but Jacob had had a dream. In fact, he had had more than one. When Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau years earlier, he comes upon a certain place. The Bible says he lighted upon a certain place, and there he sleeps and he uses a rock as a pillow. And God spoke to him. Look at verse Verse 10 of Genesis chapter 28. We're just going to jump back here. It says, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. This is the dad. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, so this is the dad, this is Jacob, he's having a dream, God is speaking to him. God spoke to him in the dream, it says this, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac, of your grandpa and your dad. And the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Just what he had said to Father Abraham years ago. I'm going to bless you and cause you to be a blessing, and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because of you. It was always the intent of the Father to open the door to the Gentiles. But it started with Abraham. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I'll not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now, this is the dad's dream, the one who kept Joseph's dream in his heart, in his mind. It says, and Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. That's my prayer for people who don't know the Lord, who show up here for the first time. Discover God was here and I didn't know it. A tangible presence of God here in this place. That every time we come, we live in an awareness of the presence of God. We can't do church without him. We need the awareness of his presence. He said God was in this place and I didn't know it. Had this divine encounter, had no idea. He just lighted upon a certain place, came upon a certain place, lay down and slept, and discovered God was there. He was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. There's a reason why we're talking about this story. And he called the name of the place Bethel. Previously had been called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow and said, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And he makes this declaration. This stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you. Long before the law, we had tithing. But here's the point of the two dreams. Jacob had a dream and he built an altar. Joseph had a dream and he made a speech. Jacob had a God-given dream and he built an altar. And his son, Joseph, had a dream and he made a speech. And I think when we have dreams from God, instead of making a speech, we need to make an altar. We make an altar through prayer. And at the conclusion of my talk, our conversation this morning, we're going to make an altar. I'm going to invite you to make an altar through prayer. Not make a speech, but make an altar. There is a difference. Sometimes the people who are closest to you can be opposed to your dreams. Even though the fulfillment of his dreams would save their lives, he couldn't see it yet. They couldn't see it yet. But the fulfillment of his dream would end up saving their lives and their kids' lives, but they couldn't see it. Loved ones, I believe that God wants our church to be a place where you can dream dreams. Where we can dream dreams. Where God gives us his dream for what he has called and created us to be. May the Spirit of the Lord be outpoured upon our church. May our young men, may our sons and daughters prophesy. May we hear the voice of the Lord in the house of God. And may all who call upon the name of the Lord be saved. May the Lord birth, loved ones, listen to this. May the Lord birth new dreams in your life, and may he remind you of the dreams he's already placed there. May he birth new dreams in your life, and may he remind you of what he has already spoken. because he is faithful and just and true. He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Often we use that scripture for individuals being confident, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. And I think it's fine to use for individuals, but Paul, in writing to the church in Philippi, was not addressing individuals, he was addressing the church. And I believe that's for our church. He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I've got a friend of mine, and he says this phrase, his name's Tom, over and over again. Well, dreams are free. Dreams are free. Dreams are free. And I believe that. Dreams are free. But the fulfillment of them is not. There is a price and there is a cost to seeing the dreams fulfilled. It has to do with obedience. It has to do with humility. It has to do with sacrifice. Dreams are free, but seeing them fulfilled, there's a cost. To get to the high place, we've got to go through the low place. Loved ones, Joseph's dream was not about him. When he sees those things bowing down, the sheep's bowing down, the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him. His dream was not about him. That's where he missed it. It involved him, but it wasn't about him. When we look years back to the Exodus and we say that Moses led the people out, God, it wasn't Moses. God used Moses, but it was God who delivered his people. Moses couldn't do it. It was about getting God's people out. It was about fulfilling God's calling and purpose, what he had said to Abraham so many years, over 400 years earlier. And when we look at these dreams of Joseph, he had the dream, but it wasn't just about him. God would use him, but the dream wasn't just about him. It's about saving his family, about fulfilling the plans and purposes of God. It was much bigger than Joseph. And I want you to remember, too, God's dream for you is bigger than you. And it's not just all about you. To get Joseph to a mountaintop, he had to take him a mountaintop of authority and position and influence and power that we'll see in a couple weeks. He had to go through a valley. He had to be brought low. Are you willing, and I don't need an amen or a yes or a mm-hmm, because it's a bigger question. It's probably something to ponder. Are you willing to go through the valley to get to the place that God has prepared for you? See, it's not good for a 17-year-old kid to have his brothers bowing down before him. It's not good for them. It's not good for him. It's not healthy, and it's not helpful. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And sometimes we need to go through some things that we will be humble. I don't mean humiliated, but humble, a humbleness of heart. There's a difference between humiliated and being embarrassed than sincere and true humility. One of the passages in the New Testament that I struggle with, and perhaps you would too, it's where the Apostle Paul records that he was given a thorn in the flesh. And he says this, given from God, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And that word buffet, that, all you foodies, it's not buffet. It's buffet. It means strike with the fist. It means maltreat. That he would not be exalted above measure. That he wouldn't be proud. God gifted the Apostle Paul with a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to strike him with the fist, that he wouldn't become proud. How deadly is pride? How dangerous is pride? That God would prevent Paul, your grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient was what Paul understood. He prayed for it to be removed. He said, no, this is going to not allow you to be puffed up. How dangerous is pride? Okay, we now return you to your regular scheduled text. Joseph's going to go check on his brothers. Dad has sent them away with the flocks to a place called Shechem. Joseph thought he was going to find his brothers, but he's actually going to fulfill this dream. Here we go. Genesis 37, we'll pick it up again at verse 13. And Israel, father Jacob, name changed to Israel. Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Please go and see if it's well with your brothers, well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." And he sent him out to the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Joseph, this kid with the dreams of God, God-given dreams about destiny, this man finds him wandering in a field. That's what it says. He found him wandering. He's just wandering in a field. And I would submit this to you. When you have a dream, God will give you divine direction. When you have a dream, God will give you divine direction. And divine direction can look very ordinary. But do this. Don't look for a sign. Look to be led. Oh God, give me a sign. Stop looking for a sign. Listen for his voice. They that are the children of God, they'll be led by the Spirit. Listen for his voice. Have your eyes open. But God, just expect to be led. So this dreamer is destined to Dothan by divine direction. We pick it up in verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, these brothers, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer's coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we'll say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let's not kill him." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit which is in the wilderness, and don't lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So this was Reuben's ploy. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors which was on him, this gift from his father. Then they took him and cast him into the pit. The pit was empty. There's no water in it. They sat down to eat a meal. How cold. But I don't know what your mind does. Mine goes to, I wonder if this was the Reuben sandwich. You know, if that's where this moment was invented. But they lifted up their eyes and looked, and they saw a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead and their camels, bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on their way to carry him down to Egypt. And Joseph said to his brothers, Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. We're almost done. One more verse. Fast forward all the way to verse 36. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. And that's where we're going to end the story today. His brothers conspired to kill him. But let me just ask you this. What happens if they were successful? What happens if that plan was successful? They wouldn't have been saved in the future. Reuben planned on getting him out of there and bringing him back to dad. What happens if Reuben would have been successful and Joseph never made it to Egypt? Joseph had to get to Egypt. Didn't understand it. Brothers didn't understand it. Ishmaelites didn't understand it. Potiphar wouldn't. Nobody understood it. He said, "God, this is your plan." But it was part of God's plan. Doesn't mean everything that happens is good, but God can work all things together for good. And so we see in this story that Joseph was delivered from death. He was delivered from the pit because the pit wasn't his destiny. It was just a pit stop. He's delivered from the Midianites. He was sold to Potiphar. But that's not the end of the story. Serving Potiphar wasn't his destiny and it wasn't his fulfillment, as powerful as it looked like he was then. We've got two more weeks, as years ago Paul Harvey would say, to know the rest of the story. Let me close with this, and we're going to pray and we're going to make an altar. Number one, everyone here has a destiny. Everyone in this room, everyone watching online, has a God-given destiny and calling. Jeremiah 29:11 will say, "For I know the thoughts," or "the plans that I have. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has dreams for you that God wants to deposit in you for you to awaken to his dreams. God wants to renew the dreams that he's already placed in you that maybe you thought were dead and gone, and there's no chance in this world they're going to be fulfilled. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us mightily. And loved ones, God knows the end of a thing from the beginning. He knows the end of a thing from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who was and is to come. He is outside of time. He knows the end of the thing from the beginning. And he can fulfill the dreams that he has placed in your life. I don't mean the dreams that we just come up with. God's dream for your life, God's dream through your life, that many will be touched by it. Here's what an altar looks like that I'm going to invite you to pray with me in just a moment. Number one, can we pray this? God, give us your dreams. God, give us, speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. God, would you give us your dreams? Would you remind me of the dreams that you have for me? We're just going to pray and we're going to wait and we'll just let that settle in when we pray that in just a moment. It's not about me, but it's about using me. It's not just all about me, but it involves us. He doesn't bypass us. He uses us. Secondly, we're going to ask for divine direction. Not looking for a sign, but we're expecting to be led. Even if we find ourselves in a pit or sold out, betrayed, we are going to trust that the Lord has a plan and that he is redemptive. And then lastly, we're going to pray, God, would you deliver us from evil? See, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And the enemy has a tailor-made plan for your destruction, for your demise, to thwart the plans and purposes and dreams that God has for you. And we're just going to ask, God, would you protect us from that? Would you keep us from the enemy's plan? Keep us from the enemy's path. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the enemy's path. Let's go ahead. Worship team, I'm going to invite you to come and join me. We're going to pray right now. Actually, hang on. Belay that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just, I don't want you guys, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to. We don't need the music for this. Let's just trust this will be a holy moment. I'm not going to pray this for you. I'm going to invite you to pray. Maybe I'll interject somehow, but God, the prayer starting with, God, give us your dreams for your plans for my life. Would you go ahead and just in your own heart, in your own way, you talk to God. This is about you and him. This is about him speaking to you. Give me your dreams for my life, for my family. God, would you do that? And even as you request that, he may awaken something right now, or it'll be in the days that lie ahead. We're trusting the God who spoke still speaks. The God who gave dreams still gives dreams today. And as we ask him to give us his dreams for us, would you now ask him for divine direction? Lord, lead me. Lord, lead me. Even if you're in a really tough spot right now, sometimes he doesn't deliver us immediately and you got to ride it out. But just look for his path. Next week, we're going to talk about Joseph riding things out from the pit into prison, on and on. Take some time. but just look for God's divine direction. God, would you lead us? We're going to trust you. We're going to trust that you will lead us. Okay, let me just add this. God wants to lead you. God wants to lead you. He wants to do this. We're not praying against his will. We're praying into his will. He wants to lead you. So God, give us your dreams. Lead us. And then lastly, would you just pray protection? Ask God to protect you. Deliver us from evil. There's a tailor-made plan of the enemy to destroy God's people and to destroy God's dreams for you, anything and everything in your life. So the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so, God, would you protect us? Protect those dreams. Protect that destiny. Protect that calling. Even protect it from us making the wrong choices. The Bible says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. God, surround us, we pray, that we would abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and that you would keep us. You were able to keep us from stumbling and present us faultless before your throne of grace with exceeding joy. You were able to keep us from stumbling. So God, we pray you'd deposit the dreams, you'd give us divine direction, and you'd deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.